Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke chapter 1. And I want to read three verses here this morning. I'm going to try to condense my message down a tad this morning since we've got a whole lot going on today. But I want to read verse number 30 of Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse number 30. We certainly do appreciate the great job today on the part of the choir and the cantata. Verse number 30, the Bible says, an angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. You'll notice, verse number 32, the Bible says, he shall be great. I want to focus this morning on that one statement found in verse number 32. He shall be great. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you today for the wonderful service that we've already enjoyed and appreciated. And we thank you today for the glorious truth of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now, my Father, bless the remaining part of the service. Bless the message and stir hearts today. If there's someone here that does not know the Christ child, the one that was born as a Christ child but now reigns on high, my Father, I pray that they will come to know him today. Bless the service and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Christmas time of the year is always an exciting time. It's always a busy time. And if you don't mingle a little bit of humor from time to time, the rat race of the season will just drive you nuts. There's just so much going on. People get stressed out. A lot of activity going on and people running to and fro and trying to get everything ready. And Christmas time can become a little bit frustrating in terms of the commercial aspect of it. But you know, there's been a lot of humorous things that's been said in terms of some of the things that go on this time of the year. Phyllis Diller, she was a comical person. She one time said this. She said she had a friend that was so tight that friend would send out one card in the form of a form letter. If you didn't get that, just come see me afterwards. I'll try to explain it. Old Milton Berle was another good one. He said someone commented, someone gave their wife a wonderful watch for Christmas. That watch was waterproof. That watch was shockproof. That watch was unbreakable. And that watch was anti-magnetic, and then the wife turns around and loses it. And then I heard of a wise parent, set of parents one time that did this. They bought their kids batteries for Christmas, with a sign that said, toys not included. That's wisdom, isn't it? You know, here in the Bible, the Word of God says, he shall be great. I know that I'm speaking on behalf of, I'm sure, everybody this morning in this church service that will agree with that statement. He's great. You know, Mary had a special angelic visit informing her of her special mission. She was chosen to be a special vessel to bear a special son. She was told, he shall be great. That statement was futuristic at that point. He shall be great. May I say this morning that God the Son has always been great. He has been great. He is great. He's always been great. He always will be great. His greatness is seen in several ways. His greatness was seen when he previously stepped out of eternity into time and set in motion his creative acts. He was great in creation. His greatness was seen in his appearance time and time to Old Testament saints. He appeared to Abraham. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He's great. His greatness was seen in the blood sacrifices that stained Jewish altars. They spoke of the coming cross work of the one whose birth we celebrate this time of the year. The prophets confirmed his greatness. It was read this morning, precious passage of scripture. Wendy shared that Isaiah chapter 9 passage with us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. His greatness was testified by the Old Testament prophets. They spoke of one that was coming. They spoke of one concerning the place where he would be born. The prophets mentioned the place. The prophets told about the fact God would become man. Christ would come. And the prophets went on to talk about the fact that that same one in time would hang upon the cross of Calvary. His greatness was testified by the prophets. His greatness is seen in his name. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Given him a name which is above every other name. His greatness is seen in his name. Everything about him is great. He is great in relationship to time, past, present, and future. He's great. He's great in relationship to titles. He is Jehovah. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Mary. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Abraham. He's the Son of Man. Great in relationship to time. Great in relationship to titles. He's great in relationship to truth. Because after all, he is embodiment of truth. He was great. He is great, and as the angel told Mary, he shall be great. His greatness is seen in the statement, he shall be great. His greatness is seen in his status, he shall be called the Son of the Highest. His greatness is seen in his seat, the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He will one day occupy that seat. He is already seated in glory. He's already seated at the right hand of God the Father. But my friend, he one day will be seated upon the throne of his father David. His greatness will be realized when the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is none other than the Lord Jesus himself, will be handed the seven sealed book of Revelation. He begins to open the seals. His greatness will be seen then. The sin and wickedness of this earth will be purged. The devil will eventually be sentenced to the lake of fire. The earth itself will be redeemed of its curse, and he will take the throne of his father, David. The one who would be cradled in Mary's arms would eventually be given a diadem crown, and the world will one day worship him. My friend, at this point of time in human history, there's a pluralistic world system. You have this religion, you have that religion, and you have all kinds of different opinions that people try to bring to the table in terms of how to be just with God. But my friend, in the end, Jesus Christ himself will be adored by this earth. The entire world will worship Him. There will not be a pluralistic world system. It'll be one God ruling upon this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He shall be great. He shall be great. A great statement. He was great in His mission. He was great in His mission. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. That was His mission. The little one that was born that day, placed in a manger, visited by the shepherds, visited by the Magi, they came to the site, they adored, they worshiped the one. Little did they realize that same one that was in that cradle, that was held in the arms of the Virgin Mary, that same one came on the mightiest mission of all times. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came not simply to create a nativity scene that we appreciate this time of the year, but thank God that led to the cross. He was great in His mission. He was great in the manner of His birth. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel. Great in the manner of His birth. Virgin born. Jesus did not have a human father. He was born of a virgin woman. Why? Because He's God. He had no sinful blood flowing through His veins. He's the eternal God. He is God become man. He stepped out of eternity into time. The infinite became an infant. The Son of God become the Son of Man, that the sons of men by the grace of God could become the sons of God. He's great. He's great in His mission. Great in the manner of His birth. And oh, I'm thrilled to say this morning He's great in the marvel of His grace. The title of great is one which the wisdom of this world recognizes. Historically, there was a figure by the name of Alexander the Great. There was a man by the name of Charles the Great. There was a man by the name of Frederick the Great. And so on. But now, think about this. They obtained their greatness through the subjugation of others to their own will. This kind of greatness was primarily a display of power and a gratification of human ambition. But on the other hand, the greatness of the one that the Bible calls great is a greatness mingled with grace. He gives a great salvation, thank God, to great sinners. He saves from a great penalty. He gives a great hope. He gives a great future. His greatness is tied in with giving. The one that the angel told Mary shall be great. I can tell you He's great and so can you. He's great. It's a greatness mingled with grace. Then I will say this and let me hurry. He is great in His mission. He's great in the manner of His birth. He's great in the marvel of His grace. But He shall be great in the manifestation of His rule. Don't leave that thought out. The manifestation of His rule. Hebrews 12:28 says that God is going to establish a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I'm thrilled when I read that. A kingdom that shall not be shaken. I'll tell you, earthly kingdoms are shaken. Our great country is shaken. Empires have been shaken. Governments have risen and governments have fallen. What has happened to the power of the British Empire? What has happened to the power of the Roman Empire? What has happened to the power of even the American Empire, if we can put it that way? Kingdoms of man are exalted for a time, but they will be debased. But thank God this one whom the Bible says shall be great will be the king We the ruler of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything that is of this world is shakable. Buildings crumble into dust. Companies go into bankruptcy. Our degrees fade into illegibility. Our houses grow old and creak and crumble. Our cars rust out. And worst of all, these bodies eventually wear out. But the kingdom of God lasts forever. Lasts forever. God's kingdom, by the way, gives meaning to history. I'm so thankful that when I stand here and preach a gospel, I'm preaching a gospel with eternal ramifications. We're preaching from a book that promises a history. We're dealing with truth that will transcend time. We're talking about a subject matter that has an endurance forever. Thank God, when God saves a sinner, it doesn't end. It all begins. It begins. Where is history going? Where is it going? Philosophers have pondered that subject for thousands and thousands of years. Is history nothing more than a tale told by an idiot that was once scribbled on the walls of an insane asylum? Edward Gibbon said, little more that history is little more than the register of crimes and follies and misfortunes of mankind. Now, should we accept the Hindu view that history is an endless cycle of reincarnation? Not hardly so. Should we adopt an evolutionary view that we came from a part of a slime? Billions and billions of years ago, we're here as a result of an evolutionary process that began with slime that brings us to where we are. That's the most ridiculous thing you'll ever hear. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. How can it be? I'll tell you how can it be. That same precious one that is adored and whose birth is worshipped this time of the year stood one day up on nothing. And God said, let there be. And creation came into being. And that same God at time placed in that garden of Eden a man and a woman. God is a mighty creator. The same one whose birth we celebrate was also divine creator. All things were made by Him. And without Him is not anything made that was made. If history has no goal, life has no meaning, and every man is left to his own devices. Larry Flint, the probably worst example of a human being when you consider his immoral track record, he once said this. He believed that our bodies are like bottles on a conveyor belt. We pop up, we ride the belt for a while, then something knocks us off the belt. We disappear and our place is taken by someone else. What a tragedy. If life is no more than hopelessness and gloom and doom, then I can understand why people would be melancholy. But thank God He came to give life, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not only does God give life, but God gives an abundant life. From God's point of view, history is His story. It's His story. It records the dealings of God, God's dealings with the human race. The Bible teaches us that the universe had a definite beginning and a definite point in time. The Bible teaches us that man didn't come from slime by some crazy accident of evolution. But God created man with a purpose, and history is His story. And it's a slow unfolding of God's purposes on this earth. You see, the last chapter in the story was started in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was the first chapter of the story of life in terms of humanity. And we can be sure of this. God's going to have a final chapter to the book. We're not here in an aimless tour of what we call life with no purpose, no meaning. No, my friend. The same God that in due time saw fit in His providence to send His Son to this earth and again sent on a mighty mission, went to the cruel cross of Calvary, took our sins upon Himself, nailed our sins to Himself on the tree, was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we're healed. And since Jesus Christ took care of the sin debt, He's in control. He went beyond the cradle. He went beyond the cross. He went back to heaven. He intercedes for the saints. He's coming back on time just like He came the first time on time. The second time He's going to be on time like He was the first time. The Bible says when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He's an on-time God. He was on time the first time He came, and thank God He'll be on time the second time He comes. And I believe it could be at any moment. It thrilled me this morning. If He came today, could you imagine that? Jesus Christ coming back on the same day that we commemorate His birth. I'd welcome that, wouldn't you? He's an on-time God. On time the first time, we'll be on time the second time, and my friend, He will finish what He started. Just as surely as He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ, I can tell you also this morning, God's purposes for mankind will reach fruition. He will rule. He will reign. We don't have to worry about the ISIS threat. We don't have to worry about what man will do because Jesus the King will reign. He'll take care of it because He has it all under control. Day is coming soon. He'll trample Satan under His feet. He'll judge the workers of iniquity. He'll set right the wrongs of this world. He'll reign from David's throne in Jerusalem. What's going to happen in the end is going to be the last, and it's going to be one of the greatest chapters in the battle of the ages. When He came the first time and man sinned, the devil lifted his ugly head. It has been causing havoc all these years. He's broken homes. He's broken hearts. He's turned gladness into fear. There's not a person this morning but what has not been touched by the devil's threats. Your heart aches. Your heart breaks because you've seen what sin has done. Maybe in your family. Maybe some friend. There's been a battle raging down through the years. But be sure of this. When God looked the devil in the eyes in the Garden of Eden, and said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God meant what He said. The cross put the death nail into Satan. But my friend, yes, he's the devil is alive today on planet Earth, but there's coming a day that God's going to take care of old Slewfoot. God will cast him into the lake of fire. There'll be no more sin. And Jesus, hallelujah, will rule forever upon this earth. I'll tell you this morning, Christmas is more than just a story of the manger. It's a story of God's plan forever. Because what started here would take Him through the cross, would take Him back to heaven, but will bring Him back to this earth, and He one day will rule on the planet earth. He shall be great. In closing, let me say this morning by way of personal testimony. I found Him to be a great Savior. I found that true many years ago. And by the way, Kathy found that true last Sunday, didn't you, Kathy? He's a great Savior. I found Him to be a great Counselor. He's helped me many times in my grief and hurt and pain in life. He's a great Counselor. I've enjoyed His great peace. Great peace of they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. I have a great hope today. I'm going to heaven one day. I'm going to leave behind this old earth one day, and so is every saint of God in this service today. Yes, my friend, we can all raise our hands up towards heaven today and say amen to what the angel told Mary. He shall be great. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder today, is there someone in this church service that does not know His greatness? That does not know Him as a great Savior from sin? That does not know for sure today that you're saved by the grace of God and you're ready for heaven? If you're here this morning in this church service and are not sure about your salvation, what a great time this would be. We celebrate the birth of Christ. Wouldn't it be great if we could also celebrate your birth? The new birth in the family of God. If you're here this morning unsaved, would you raise a hand and say, Preacher Peters, I just need to get settled. I'm not sure I'm saved today. I need God to save me. Would you raise your hand? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, could I see a hand for prayer? Anyone in this church service? You'd say, Preacher, I just need a good old dose of salvation from God. I'm not a Christian. Anyone this morning in the service? All right, I wonder, secondly, this morning, are there Christians today that maybe are going through some depression or stress and issues that are somewhat self-induced because you're beating your own self up instead of letting God help you through these issues? Surely this time of the year wasn't intended by God to be stressful. If we'd spend more time worshiping the one whose birth we're here to celebrate and spend less time trying to make everybody else happy with what we buy them, we'd all be better off, wouldn't we? I wonder how many would say, Preacher, I'm saved, but I've been stressed and I just need God to help me, to get me through this commercial part of the whole thing. Pray for me today, because I see your hand maybe. Anybody in the service is a Christian. Maybe you'd say, pray for me, Preacher. Anybody in the service? All right. Yes, God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Amen. Let's have prayer. If anybody needs to come today and pray at this altar, something you need to settle with the Lord, you do it today as we sing. Father, bless now the invitation, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mike.
Number 270.